First of Kings, chapter 2. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the instruction of Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn yourself. So that is the wish of every godly father, that their child will walk in God's ways. And if you're thinking to get married, you want to marry somebody who is going to have that same perspective, so that when you come to have children, you're both united in that desire, that more than anything, you want them to follow in God's ways. This is so, David says, that Yahweh may establish his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, If your children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you, he said, a man on the throne of Israel. You know also what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the armies of Israel, to Abner and to Amasa, whom he killed, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war on his belt that was about his waist, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to your wisdom, and don't let his grey head go down to Sheol, hell or the grave, in peace. Well, I think that David didn't really end his life on a very great spiritual note, although he clearly was a believer and had the right wish for Solomon to go on following the law of Moses. But, you know, he says to Solomon, basically, look, kill Joab because he killed two innocent men. And yet, David himself had said that he couldn't build the temple, he himself, because he had shed so much blood. So it's a bit hypocritical, really, to say, yeah, well, kill Joab because he killed two innocent men. David had also killed innocent men, Uriah, and also the men with Uriah, who he arranged to all get killed to try to cover up the death of Uriah. They were innocent men. And really, I think the reason he wanted to get rid of Joab was because Joab had supported his son Adonijah in his rebellion, Adonijah's rebellion against him. He goes on, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those who eat at your table, for so they came to me when I fled from Absalom your brother. So to eat at someone's table was to be accepted by them. And the fact we are invited to take the bread and wine, to sit at the Lord's table, shows that we are accepted by him, and we should be eager to do this, and we should never disallow anybody from sitting at the Lord's table, to accept his kindness and his acceptance. Behold, there is with you Shimei, the Benjamite of Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim, but he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I vowed to him by Yahweh, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore don't hold him guiltless, for you're a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his grey head down to Sheol, the grave, with blood. Wait a minute. David had told this man, Shimei, that he would not kill him. Shimei had cursed David as he fled from Absalom, and he'd thrown stones at him, which was really the punishment that David should have had for what he did to Bathsheba and to Uriah. And he says at the time, look, God's told Shimei to curse, so let him curse. When he comes back after Absalom's dead, and Shimei says, oh, can you forgive me? David says, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. But you see how you can forgive somebody at one point and even accept that what they did was under the control of God, and yet then years later, you don't forgive them anymore and you try to punish them. So forgiveness is something that you've got to keep up. You don't just forgive somebody at one point. It's something that goes on all your life. If you decide to forgive somebody, as of course we should, then you've got to keep that up. And there are times when man does come down very small before God. And sure, then we want to be very forgiving and very kind to people. But You've got to stay down. You've got to stay small before God and not get lifted up again in your own self-confidence. So I think it's very sad that David really fails, really, with Shimei here. David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years, 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, this is one of the sons of David who had rebelled against David, and then he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar and begged Solomon not to kill him, and Solomon doesn't kill him at the time, and obviously he was very wary of Adonijah. Adonijah came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. He said, "I have something to tell you. You know," he said, "that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. However, the kingdom is turned around and has become my brother's, Solomon's, for it was his from Yahweh. Now I ask one petition of you, don't deny me." She said to him, "Say on." Well, if people say, "Oh, would you do me a favor?" You don't say, yes. It depends what the favor is. Anyway, so I think she's unwise by basically saying, yes, I'll do you a favor. He said, "Please speak to Solomon the king, for he won't tell you no, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite as wife." Now, Abishag was the beautiful young woman who had come into David's bedroom to try to keep him warm when he was losing heat as a very old man on his deathbed. And I said when we talked about that in 1 Kings chapter 1 that this was not a very ethical thing to do, really, and that it was likely, therefore, to lead to problems later, and it does lead to problems later. Clearly, Adonijah still has the hope that he's going to kick Solomon off the throne and become the king, and he wants to marry Abishag, who it would be reckoned by some was some sort of wife or concubine of David, because she had been with him in his bedroom. Bathsheba agreed, "I will speak for you to the king." Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. The king rose up to meet her and bowed himself to her. So that's good that he respected his mum, even though he was now the king. And he sat on his throne and caused a throne to be set for the king's mother. She sat on his right hand. Then she said, "I ask one small petition of you, don't deny me." The king said to her, "Ask on, my mother, for I will not deny you." Again, not a sensible response when someone says, "Oh, can you do me a favor?" "Oh, yeah, sure." No, it depends what the favor is. She said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as wife." Solomon replied, "Why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? You might as well ask for him the kingdom also, for he's my older brother, even for him and for Abiathar and Joab." King Solomon vowed by Yahweh, saying, "God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. As Yahweh lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he promised, surely Adonijah shall be put to death this day." King Solomon sent by Benaiah, and he fell on him so that he died. To Abiathar the priest, the king said, "You go to Anathoth, to your own fields, for you are worthy of death." This was, I guess he thought, because Abiathar had supported Adonijah when Adonijah had tried to become king, and Abiathar had sort of remained friendly with Adonijah. Solomon says to him, "I will not at this time put you to death, because you carried the ark of Yahweh before David my father, and because you were afflicted in all in which my father was afflicted." So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest to Yahweh, that he might fulfill the word of Yahweh which he spoke concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. The news came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he didn't turn after Absalom. Joab fled to the tabernacle of Yahweh and caught hold on the horns of the altar. Joab thought, "Well, I also supported Adonijah, and so did Abiathar, and Abiathar's been really punished for supporting Adonijah." So he grabs hold of the horns of the altar, just like Adonijah did. thinking, most surely they can't kill me by the altar. It was told King Solomon, Joab has fled to the tabernacle, and he's by the altar. Solomon sent Benaiah, saying, go, fall on him. Benaiah came to the tabernacle of Yahweh and said to him, thus says the king, come forth. Joab said, no, but I'll die here. Benaiah told the king, thus said Joab. The king said to him, well, do as he said, and fall on him and bury him, that you may take away the blood which Joab shed without cause for me and for my father's house. Well, this is not, in my opinion, a great start, really, to Solomon's reign, because although he has a name for being so wise, he does not show any grace. Solomon had not gone through the humbling experiences that his father had gone through, and he doesn't actually have a respect for the tabernacle, I don't think, to do this. And he says, no, Joab's got to die because he shed innocent blood. Well, David had said that before, that Joab shed the blood of war in peace when he killed two innocent men. Oh, but David himself had killed innocent men. He killed Uriah and the soldiers that were with Uriah to try to cover up Uriah's death. And this was Solomon's own father, all related to David's sin with Solomon's own mother, Bathsheba. Surely he knew this, that his own father had done this and had been forgiven by grace. But no, he won't show that grace to Joab. He says, Yahweh will return his blood on his own head because he fell on two men more righteous and better than he and killed them with the sword. It's exactly what David had done to Uriah and those soldiers. He had killed them, Nathan had said, with the sword of the Ammonites. So shall their blood return on the head of Joab and on the head of his seed forever. But to David and to his seed and to his house and to his throne, there shall be peace forever from Yahweh. Well, actually there wasn't literally peace forever to the line of David and the throne of David. So I would say here that Solomon is being very political. And when people start to think in a political way, establishing their own power base, things like grace and love, which are absolutely fundamental to spiritual life, just go out of the window. So Benaiah went up and fell on him and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Well, whatever you make of Joab, he'd been a lifelong friend of David and had been a lifelong supporter of David, and to treat him like that was really pretty poor. The king put Benaiah in his place over the army and put Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei. David had said about Shimei, basically make sure you kill him. He said, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there. Don't go out anywhere from there. He was under house arrest. On the day you go out and pass over the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head. Shimei said to the king, the saying is good. Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days, and at the end of 3 years, two of the servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, son of Maachar, king of Gath. They told Shimei, saying, behold, your servants are in Gath. Shimei arose, saddled his donkey, and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And he brought his servants from Gath. It was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come again. The king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, didn't I adjure you by Yahweh and warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out, you shall surely die? You said to me, the saying that I have heard is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of Yahweh and the commandment that I have instructed you with? Well, this is all very similar to the language that God used with Adam and Eve. In the day that you eat the fruit, you will surely die. But they didn't die, did they? Because God forgave them, even though their repentance was not particularly sincere, trying to blame it on each other and the snake and the serpent and so on. And I think the implication is that God was more gracious to Adam and Eve than Solomon was to Shimei. The king said to Shimei, you know all the wickedness which your heart knows full well, what you did to David my father, throwing stones at him and cursing him, which David had said was fair enough, but that is what he deserved. And he said, God has told him to curse me. Therefore Yahweh shall return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before Yahweh forever." Well, again, Solomon is very much going in his own strength here, saying, "I shall be blessed, and the throne of David will be blessed forever, and you shall be killed for your sin." He's quite overlooking that his father David had committed far worse sins than all these people who he's now knocking off. So the king commanded Benaiah. He went out and fell on him so that he died. The kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Yes, it was, because he killed all his potential rivals. But as I say, I don't think that he's really acting in the way of love and grace, and certainly not in the gracious way that David, his father, had earlier acted.